Well, you've heard the predictions now of two psychics, Anthony Carr and Joseph Jacobs. Next up, an astrologer, Mark Lerner, joins us on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. Mark Lerner, of course, with us, graduated from Michigan State University, as my two sisters did, with high honors, a Bachelor of Arts degree, by the way, in social science. His book, Welcome to Planet Earth, reached thousands of astrological students and professionals all around the world. A very respected individual. He deals with what is called mundane astrology. We're going to talk about that in a second. His website, earthaquariusnews.com. I go there quite often. He's got some great information there. Mark, welcome back to Coast. Great time to have you.
Thank you, George. It's great to be with you.
Do you follow college football at all?
Michigan State didn't do very well
no,
today, George.
No, they did not do well at all. Now, as an astrologer, did you see that coming?
I had a sort of intuition you might ask me about this. My answer would be this. Going back many, many decades, there is actually a way that you can plot sports. I mean, anything. It could be baseball, it could be football, horse racing, all sports like anything else. Everything is part of astrology. It's a little bit complex to explain to the listeners how you do this, but one thing, let's say with football, you can plot, say, the horoscope of the two opposing quarterbacks, the coaches. If you know something about when, say, the college was begun, or even the first game that Michigan State or Alabama, what was the first time they ever played a football game, and you go back and check the horoscope for that time. So, and then, of course, the exact moment that the game starts, there's a way that an astrologer can look at the planets and the sun and moon and figure that out.
So much to talk with you about, Mark, and obviously we will take phone calls with you next half hour as well. But let's start by you giving us this definition of mundane astrology. I mean, what the heck is that?
Well, this is really sort of the origin of now most people think their charts are just the sun sign. And that actually began about 90 years ago to fundamentally attract people through newspapers in America and England. So astrology, as it's sort of understood by most people, this is my sun sign, is a relatively new kind of thing. But if you go back a couple of thousand years and before even recorded history and over the last 2,000 years in different cultures and civilizations, mundane astrology uses the new moons, the full moons, eclipses, the beginning of each season, in the old days, a king, a queen, whoever was installed. We still use it now with presidents and elections and things like that. So it's really looking at the big picture rather than our own individual lives. And we look at how the world is being influenced, even things like weather, launching of spacecrafts, things like that. Just trying to see the bigger picture, current events, and how the world operates, and using astrology as a tool to understand that.
Joseph Jacobs, our psychic, had mentioned Mercury in retrograde, and he said you got to talk to Mark Lerner about that,
right?
Because he's not the astrologer. What does that mean?
Well, you know, I have tried to write about this. I mean, I've written about it for 30, 40 years, that retrograding planets are not necessarily bad, but what happened was is that Mercury is the speedster of all the planets. It's the old messenger of the gods in mythology. And because Mercury is positioned where it is in the solar system relative to the Earth and the Sun, of the planets that we use in astrology, Mercury, Venus, out through Mars and the outer planets, Jupiter, Saturn, and so on, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Mercury moves relatively very fast. And so approximately three times in any calendar year, George, Mercury will appear from the Earth's viewpoint to slow down and then stop, or what we call make a station, and then go backwards. It never really does that. If we were living on the sun, everything is revolving around the sun. From a heliocentric viewpoint, planets do not go retrograde. But because we're 93 million miles away from the sun, we see things through a geocentric perspective, and that gives a kind of skewing of where the planets are. So all the planets actually will go retrograde, including the asteroids. But Mercury does it the most frequently, and since it rules things like communications and business and transportation, it's gotten this very negative reputation that when the planet appears to go in reverse, all these so-called bad and negative things happen. But the reality is, George, about 17% of all time, whether when people are born or events are happening, Mercury is retrograde. And most people can function very well and have that position in their birth charts.
Interesting take. Now, as I've asked the two previous psychics, Mark, one of the current stories, of course, is our upcoming presidential election in November.
Right.
And, of course, as we move toward primaries and conventions, let me just open up the forum to you. What do you think? What's going on?
Well, you know, there's so many candidates, particularly in the Republican Party, much less in the Democratic Party. But one thing from the to start this point here of our discussion, every 4 years when we have a presidential election, there are all these sort of turning points. The first caucus, for instance, with Iowa, and then the primary. Those are important because votes start getting tabulated. Then we have conventions. This year they'll be only 1 week apart in cities fairly close, like Cleveland and Philadelphia, in July. And then, of course, we reach the election day, and a lot of states, like out here in Oregon, people send in their ballots early, so a lot of people are voting even before election day. And then the inauguration. Well, the mundane astrologer, a person like myself over all these decades, because I've been fascinated by this, will look at the candidates' birth charts, we'll start comparing it to all these different dates and try and come up with an answer. Plus, of course, working with things like the Electoral College, because there are a lot of these candidates out there, and you can check their charts, and some of the time, it can look like, wow, this person has a wonderful chart or the cycles are good, but if they don't match well mm-hmm. with the United States birth chart, if they don't peak, let's say, on election day or election evening or at the inauguration. So what I have to do is do a whole bunch of these charts. We can talk about some of these people.
Let me give you names.
Yeah.
And then you, you know, we're not going to go through everybody, obviously.
Right. Right.
So I'm just going to take the top ones to date.
Sure.
Let's start with the Democrats.
Okay.
Bernie Sanders, what do we see here for him?
Well, astrologically, he's a sun sign Virgo. And one of the things that happens with these folks is there's a lot of questions about what time of day they're born. In astrology, for a fine-tuned analysis, it's more than just month, day, and year and place. You need to know the time. With a person like Bernie Sanders, we may know the time, and if we do know that, then we can figure a few more things out.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot
okay.
of polls out there that seem to be saying, yeah, he could do really well, particularly if he wins in Iowa or New Hampshire. He's probably going to win New Hampshire because he's from that area.
He should. That's right.
Yeah, and there are a lot of questions about, you didn't bring her up yet, with Hillary Clinton again because of Bill Clinton having already been president.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think, well, she'll just get all, you know, the women will vote for her. Women have more voting power if they go to the polls than men. But a lot of women don't want to elect her. So she can't count on all women. At all, you know, I mean, she can count on a certain percentage, but not necessarily to get all the women. And then the question is, men of different ethnic groups and varieties, if they don't vote Democratic, then they're going to go Republican or somewhere else.
Well, but what are you saying, that she's going to get it or Bernie Sanders has
a
shot?
You know, again, if we went back 4 years, it looked like Hillary was going to get it, and then Barack Obama came through and there was an upset. I think I would rate her pretty likely to get it. Okay, and then the question will be, who does she choose as a running mate? I would say, based on the astrology that I'm seeing at the convention time and her power and, you know, status with everything, it looks like she would probably be the nominee. That's what I
would. Would she pick John Kerry?
What's that?
Would she pick John Kerry as her VP?
Wow, I hadn't thought of that. I think part of the real problem when we talk about the Republicans, though, is that, I mean, relative to Hillary's chances, to choose an older person, because she's going to be 69, 70. So, you know, to put Bernie on there, he's in the 70s, John Kerry's in the 70s, it would look as a very old ticket.
Yeah,
that's
true. Watch. She's got to get some youth in there. But
right. So, you know, there are some younger people like Martin O'Malley. Of course, he's still in there. He has very low percentage.
And one person showed up at one of his events or something
right.
like that.
It's pretty low. But obviously, he thinks that he is the kind of person, maybe that not now, but 4 years or 8 years, he's out there. Maybe his name will, you know, go up there.
Well, that's that possibility, to be sure. So,
right.
So you're hedging, at least on the Democratic side, that Hillary, despite Benghazi, despite the emails,
right.
that she's going to get the nomination. I agree with you there.
Yeah,
okay.
I tend to think that that's what's going to be offered, but I don't necessarily think it's an easy path. And even though it looks like the Republicans, in the Electoral College, the Democrats have an edge. This is part of the problem for Republicans. I mean, to jump the gun here, let me give you an example. If the Republicans wanted to really focus and win the election, they should choose, this is just my personal opinion, John Kasich and Marco Rubio, because that's Ohio and Florida. And you have to have Ohio and Florida in the Electoral College, almost both of them. And that would be the sensible, reasonable thing, but the Republicans aren't behaving that way.
Well, then you can get Jeb Bush, too, for Florida.
And Jeb Bush, actually, in a weird way, because of all the money behind him.
You can't count him out. Don't count him out yet.
You don't want to count him out because he has tremendous support and all these different people behind him. And his astrological chart actually is fairly appropriate relative to the next 4 years. So a lot of these candidates are like, do fit in. Like to focus for a minute on Donald Trump, one of the interesting things about Donald Trump, I've got all these charts in my computer in front of me, obviously. Donald Trump's chart is so connected to America's chart. Okay, not necessarily to the election.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he is so connected, which is why he has been so successful and why he behaves the way he does, where he's always talking about, I want to make America great and people love me and this and that. And everybody is saying, wait a minute, not everybody loves you, Donald. And he just keeps doing this and getting a lot of support.
Well, I think what he caters to, and I haven't asked you him yet officially because we'll get into him, but I do think that he caters to America being fed up with everything.
Exactly.
And he's falling into that, but there may be a point where they say, we're fed up, but we don't want him with us.
Right. You know, if the kind of person who looks at, he's run all these different businesses, he's made all this kind of money, just like you're saying, not just like people are fed up, but they see in him, he's a household name. I mean, nobody doesn't know him. I mean, everybody knows who Donald Trump is. So the name recognition factor, and he's kind of a larger-than-life figure all over the place. And the question is, where is it going to go? I think what's going to happen here, though, in the early going, it looks like Senator Cruz, unless something weird happens in the next month, will win the Iowa caucuses.
Well, that would be huge for him. But anyways, let's get to the names here.
Right.
So Democrats, you're saying that it looks like Hillary will get that nomination.
And I think she should choose somebody younger.
Okay. All right. Marco Rubio on the Republican side. What do your charts say on him?
I just think he's much more likely to be the number two person with somebody if he's going to get in there, you know, at this time. Maybe in the future he would be a better candidate.
Okay. Ted Cruz.
Well, Ted Cruz has an amazing connection to Election Day. Now, Newt Gingrich 4 years ago, at a certain point, I looked at his chart relative to the election, and I thought, wow, he has an amazing connection to election. The problem with him was, it was sort of past his time, and he just didn't get enough support. Same kind of thing with Ted Cruz. The question will be, can he get away from this kind of Tea Party, you know, outside the Republican center? You know, he's way off to the right. And the question will be, just because he wins Iowa and just because he has some strong links to the Election Day and to the next inauguration. So Democrats should be concerned about him. I think he could... He could really make a move.
Ben Carson seems like his campaign seems to be falling apart.
Yeah, I think it was a flash. You know, I just don't think that's going anywhere.
All right, and Jeb Bush.
Yeah, Jeb, you can't count him out. You just can't count him out. Even a person like,
because the machinery likes him.
Well, and you get into this thing of governors versus senators. See, that the senators always seem to be the ones who are super active and wanting to get into the positions of power, but the governors are the people who really are probably, like, you know, President Reagan as an example, Franklin Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, people who have been governors because they're executives, whereas the senators are legislators. So you know, we often see these senators making their moves, but again, Jeb Bush, having been governor of Florida, you know, he's a power to be reckoned with. I do want to say one other thing.
Sure.
You know, Nikki Haley has been mentioned, and this could be a very interesting, if the Democrats went, like you mentioned, John Kerry, let's say Hillary had to choose Bernie, maybe because otherwise the party wouldn't heal, or John Kerry or someone older. What if the Republicans went with something like Cruz and Nikki Haley? Because here's the amazing thing. Nikki Haley is born on January 20th. The exact day of the inauguration, her birthday and the day of the inauguration are the same.
That's an interesting take.
Yeah, so they share a sun sign connection. I mean, she does, with the actual inauguration. Huh. And they would be both in their 40s.
All right, let's hone in now on Donald Trump.
Okay, well, I don't know what you know, the thing is that one of the interesting things is he's about the only person who we know exactly what time he was born. We actually, you know, the odd thing, this is why he probably was so adamant about the birther issue. His birth time and his birth certificate have been known for decades.
Yeah.
So we know him exactly, and astrologers and people have watched his career and they look at his chart. This is the amazing thing about him. He is born almost exactly at the full moon. He is, you know, the full moon is either the monthly time of enlightenment or it's the time of lunacy. Well, he personifies both of those, because what he does is, by the way he talks and the way he behaves, he's kind of a wild card. He has very prominent Uranus, one of the first of the outer planets, the planet of revolution and change and eccentricity. So he just says whatever, you know, comes into his mind. But he's born at a full moon, so he is here to illuminate the whole system, you see, of politics and how we elect somebody. And also the whole thing that I wanted to bring up about him was, because of being a billionaire, he brings in the plutonic energy, plutocracy, and we just had New Horizons take all those fabulous, amazing pictures of Pluto 3 billion miles away, and Pluto is very active this year in 2016. So he's not going to just go away. And even if he were to somehow go to sidelines, George, in some way and say, I'm out of it, I don't want to be a part of it,
right,
he would probably still be commenting and still influence everything.
So I'm going to make you or ask you to predict then a Republican candidate.
Okay. You know, I think right now the toss-up is between Trump and Cruz. I think possibly they might go together also, if they didn't choose someone like Nikki Haley. So I would probably say Cruz at this point has the edge over.
Really, you'd say that, and I'm gonna guess that a brokered convention,
right,
gets Jeb Bush with Ted Cruz as maybe his running mate.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. You know, a brokered Democratic convention could keep Joe Biden.
Yeah, that's
don't
true.
Don't forget that, because you know that you never know. And they're, again, a week apart, so the whole thing was very interesting.
This is going to be an interesting race this year.
Absolutely.
It really is. And the most important thing, too, Mark, is how does this affect us as Americans? I mean, what are they going to do about health care,
right,
and the income? Are they going to do away with Obamacare? What are they going to do about the income tax? Are they going to, you know, get rid of it? You know, Donald Trump has a pretty good platform about that. What are they going to do about ISIS and wars and things like that?
Yeah, and when we come back, you know, in addition to the callers, there are a lot of issues. I'm not talking about a nuclear event per se, but fears having to do with, you know, some of these rogue nuclear weapons that have been around, plus with terrorism.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And there are some astrological signatures on that, and also some financial astrological energies that could be pretty scary.
All right, let's talk about some of those. Financial astrology, and have you give us some definitions of what that could be. Mark Lerner with us this hour. EarthAquariusNews.com is his website, and we'll open up the phone lines and continue chatting with him as well as we talk about 2016. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast, Mark Lerner with us. We'll take your questions when we come back. No personals with Mark on this segment, so just talk with him about things that you would like to know about in 2016, but no personals. And by the way, now it's time for our shout-out for those of you supporting Coast to Coast AM around this planet. those of listening on your favorite radio stations across North America, of course, 615 stations. Thank you for everything you do. Coast Insiders, appreciate all of you. Sirius XM, channel 146, and then the various chat rooms and groups. Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, the National Radio Club, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the dear friends at the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Haven't seen him yet, but I will soon. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. An interesting night, isn't it, with psychics and astrologers all making their predictions for 2016. Financial astrology. I didn't even know the financial world had their own segment. What is that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a big. J.P. Morgan supposedly said millionaires don't use astrology, billionaires do. That's a famous quote.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Tell me how you use it.
Well, let me give you an example, and this is a concern I've had for a long time. You go back to the great stock market crash on October 29. Saturn was in the sign Sagittarius. Okay, Saturn has a lot of positive qualities, but it also, on the challenging side, can rule fear, chronic problems, pessimism, depression. Well, it has a cycle of 29 and a half years. Well, if you fast forward, George, from 1929, you go another 29 years, you get October of 58, which I'll talk about in a minute, 1958. Then another 29 years, you get October 1987, Black Monday, stock market crashed, 1987. Now it's 29 years later, this coming October, okay? And Saturn will again be in Sagittarius. Okay, so Saturn is a repeating cycle. So I've been watching this for a long time. And this March 23rd of 2016 and then May 26th, even before we get to October, which is often a critical month, you know, a lot of people are afraid there'll be another crash. Every October there's always worries, will we crash again with the market? But before we even get to that point, we're having Jupiter and Saturn, the two largest planets, at right angles, what we call a square. They're simply at odds with each other in a very frictional way. And they already did this a couple of months ago, but now we're going to have it very sharply in this, you know, election year, March 23rd and May 26th. And in between those, the planet Mars makes one of these retrogrades, okay, for like 2 months on April 17th. And the day after that, Pluto is not moving. So we've got April 17th and 18th. Three times, March, April, and May, we have a lot of critical days that could be very, very difficult for the stock market or markets all around the world.
That's going to be an interesting take, too. You don't think it's going to be as bad as 2007-8?
It's always the thing when people say the market hates uncertainty. Well, think of okay, 4 years ago, we had less, I think, uncertainty with Romney versus Obama. 4 years before that was a lot of uncertainty because everything was, you know, happening in 2008 at the end of the Bush era. And that was very uncertain with the market falling apart and so on. I think it could be somewhat similar. I don't think it's going to be the same kind of thing where America, you know, starts falling apart. But I think we're due for some kind of erosion. Everybody is calling for it. So some kind of bearish energy field coming in with these clashes of planetary energies.
I'm sure you're going to be on at least several times this year, 2016, tuning us up as we get close to the presidential election, and if events warrant it as well. But do you see, Mark, anything, and I'm going to be blunt,
right,
just truly catastrophic happening?
Well, I do want to mention this one thing about the nuclear, what I call the nuclear axis. I made a discovery, George, a long time ago. Okay, it's 33 years ago that I wrote about this, when Welcome Planet Earth was in a newsletter stapled together and I gave it to a bunch of people. And I wrote about something called the nuclear axis. It all goes back to the first nuclear chain reaction in Chicago, Enrico Fermi, which was fission, you know, splitting the atom, December 2nd, 1942. What I found was that all the other events like Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, the Trinity Blast, all of these different things, salt talks between Nixon and Brezhnev and so on, there was a common ingredient of where planets and the sun and different energies were located in our zodiac, in Sagittarius and Gemini, those particular signs. And now this year, Mars is going to stop in April, right in what we call, what I call the nuclear axis. And then in August, Saturn is going to stop in the same place. Now, remember a couple of weeks ago, the North Korean leader said, we've developed a hydrogen bomb.
Kim Jong-un, and today he said, we'll go to war if we have to.
Right. If you were to ask me and say, you know, India and Pakistan have nukes, Israel, even though they will never say they have them, we have them, Russia has them. The two things that I am always worried about, and I'm very surprised that the world just, you know, the part of it is the media, you know, the big TV stations. They go with all these different things. And, of course, recently we had the concerns about Iran and nuclear, and that's still an ongoing thing. But the greater thing is the Korean Peninsula, very unstable, and North Korea, and then the rogue missiles from the old Soviet Union.
Yes.
And I don't like to see this kind of stuff. So I'm not going to say there will be a catastrophe, but I do feel the fear energy is going to get really ramped up. And it's because these planets are now in the nuclear axis, particularly Mars and Saturn, the two traditional, what we call malefic, challenging planets. So I do think that we're going to have a lot more stories and a lot more concern, and maybe we need to do a lot more peacekeeping to keep that at bay.
Let's go to calls now for you, Mark, lining up here for you. Let's go to Fran in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hi, Fran. Thanks for joining us. Go ahead.
Hi. Again, congratulations, George, on your anniversary.
Oh, thank you. And 13 years here. Woohoo.
I've been listening to for most of that. And
thank
you. I'm 70, January 16th, and my husband and I will be married 50 years, February 10th.
Good for you.
I two quick, real quick questions. Nobody mentioned Chris Christie, and as you know, you had Merlin the computer on earlier, and he predicted an Andrew Cuomo and Christie run because they felt, you know, trouble was for Hillary. And then what about Fukushima? Those are my two quick questions.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mr. Lerner.
Okay. Well, Chris Christie is a sun sign Virgo, and it's interesting. He has a lot of Pluto behind him. I mean, like Donald Trump, there's this plutonic force that propels him. He's a sun sign Virgo born September 6, 1962, which is interesting. He was born the month before the October missile crisis, so that fits back into what I was saying about a concern.
1962, huh?
Yeah, he is a governor, you know, and he has a lot of energy, and he could do somewhat well in New Hampshire. He still is polling better than, say, Jeb Bush at this point, at least in New Hampshire. I, you know, a couple of years ago, I thought like he would be a good candidate, and then all, you know, then suddenly there's 15 Republicans. So I think he's been drowned out, so to speak.
Okay, that's an interesting take.
Yeah,
but we didn't mention that because they're really not too, they're not showing too well.
That's the problem. I mean, all these different candidates dropping out. I mean, why did George Pataki ever decide to run? Lindsey Graham, you know, some of these people could be great in an administration, a Republican administration. And I think sometimes, George, this is the reason why some of these people are running.
And she wanted to know about Fukushima, and I assume that's fallout that is approaching and has approached us.
Well, the Fukushima thing is very interesting because the planet Uranus, which rules the original ruler of radioactivity and nuclear fission, the splitting of the uranium atom, is connected to that planet, which was discovered back in 1781, which is America's planet because that's when we won the Revolutionary War and became independent. And so our nation is very Uranian. We're revolutionaries. We're scientific. We're on cutting edge, but we're also eccentric, and we're also iconoclasts, and we're also creating a lot of upheavals through all the things that we're doing. Well, back when the Fukushima event happened, Uranus was very powerful. In fact, I was on either with you or on the show a couple of months before that. I'm pretty sure it was with you. And then the last question you asked was, is there one date that comes up? And I mentioned that date, and then that's when Fukushima.
Well, I know you were on with me for a full show on February 12th of last year.
Oh, okay. Well, the Fukushima event was, what, in 2011. It was back in March, I believe.
Years ago.
Years ago. 4 years ago.
Hard to believe how fast that's gone by.
Yeah, and there is, you know, I'm not really necessarily concerned about that particular place, although, I mean, we should all be concerned about that and what it's done. It's kind of the thing with Chernobyl again. You know, I mean, God knows what is happening in that vicinity. It must be awful still.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's the Ukraine. We forget about that because they became their own republic.
Let's go to Riverside, California. It's David's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Dave, thank you.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm an astrologer here, and I was wondering what system you're using. I gather from listening to you that you're using the moving zodiac as opposed to sidereal zodiac.
Yeah.
In your calculations.
Well, in astrology, as you know, I mean, there's two different realms in astrology. There's the tropical zodiac, which we start in the spring at the spring equinox, used mostly in the Western world, and divide the signs into 12 equal divisions. And then there's the sidereal astrology that originated more in India, and as a lot of people like to use that, and it's connected more to the traditional star groups. So I just use what I feel works best. There are other people who will not use that system, but most astrologers in North America and Europe use what's called the tropical system.
And the sidereal system that I use, I noticed that there's a potential for an assassination for Trump. I'm wondering if the tropical series also shows a similar possibility.
Well, the thing, okay, I haven't focused on that. Not that I mean, I've unfortunately spent 40-plus years studying the whole history of assassinations of American presidents, not just American presidents, but of other figures, either nationally and around the world. So I've done a lot of research. But on one level, based on transits and things like progressions, if it's alignments that we're working with, it won't, at least in my opinion, matter whether using what we call the tropical Western zodiac or the Eastern sidereal zodiac, in the sense that an alignment is an alignment. It's either a square or an opposition or whatever it may be, or a series of full moon, new moon, eclipse, whatever it may be. So I haven't looked at that relative to Donald Trump, and you could always contact me with your research or vice versa, and you know, we could explore it.
Sure.
Okay, good luck. Good luck to you. Let's go to Ken in New York. Welcome to the show, Ken. Go ahead.
Good morning, boys. It's a pleasure. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Happy
thing.
New Year, George. Happy New Year, Mark.
You
good
too,
morning.
Ken.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
In a reel of a switch, in a damper note, I'm really feeling it, and I'm wondering if this is something you're going to see or feel, but the civil unrest in the states itself.
Yeah.
I mean, forget about ISIS. Forget about what's going on around the world. Just look inside ourselves here in the States.
Right.
Do we see something provoked? Forget about the gun control agendas and things of that nature. Do you feel that we should be packing and ready to go?
Well, there are a number of things in the national chart for the United States that point to what you're talking about. All kinds of things between now and over the next, like, about 8 years. First of all, Pluto has a 247-year cycle, and by 2022 to 2024, that the Pluto position in the sky will return. It's like it's a rare cycle called Pluto return. America is a very young country, and our national birth chart is filled with two very volatile oppositions and what's called the square pattern. And everything you're talking about, all civil war, all the animosities, what's been happening in Missouri recently.
Oh, you know, and I'm right here, Mark. My daughter lost her townhouse that way.
Yeah, I was just looking at the state charts. This is another big thing. The state chart of Missouri, I have it on my website in my breaking news, and I've had it there for a couple of years, and I was looking at it again. And if you look at the history of your state, of the state you're living in there, George, and what's been happening so devastating with the floods and everything else, but the civil unrest, it's there in the chart. Missouri has been a centerpiece of this whole thing, right in the center of the country, for a lot of this, things like the Missouri Compromise, the Civil War. It was a slave state, but it went with the Union in the Civil War. There's all of these divisions, and out of that, with the whole arch and everything in St. Louis, I mean, it's really a key to the whole history of the country.
Well, they sure do. Mark, give us your websites and what people can do to track you down.
Well, it's you said in the beginning, Earth Aquarius News, and it's been out there for a long time. And I have a lot of the mundane astrology articles, and I've been doing what's called the cosmic calendar, which is a very unique kind of thing that people should really tune into, because it's all the sky cycles, new moon, full moon, all the alignments, including asteroids, day by day. A lot of people, George, in a, they want to get their charts done. Okay, like you said at the beginning of this half hour, you know, we don't want to do the personal things. Now, I do work in that way professionally. I've been doing thousands of charts in my life, but I specialize in the mundane astrology. And so I've created for 34 years what's called the cosmic calendar. I so enjoy to try and understand what's happening in the heavenly cycles in addition to what's affecting each one of us individually through what are called transits and progressions.
Let's go to Cedar Rapids now. Donna's with us. Let's get one or two more calls in. Hi, Donna. Go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations, George.
Oh, thank you.
And Happy New Year to you both.
You too.
Thank you. You too.
I guess my question would be financially. I know you said you didn't want to do personally, but like for me personally and a lot of people that I have talked to, just financially have been just struggling, especially last year. And I didn't know if you saw anything different for like the middle class.
Well, you know, the thing is that everything depends on the Congress isn't doing anything. I mean, everybody's to blame. It just seems like things just never really get done to help large numbers of people unless you really reform the tax system. And then maybe everything goes back to each individual state. Some states, for instance, the whole shale oil boom in North Dakota is now pretty much over. Okay, for a while, people were flocking to North Dakota, right? It was amazing kind of thing. Same what happened with Las Vegas and Nevada, right? For so long, there was an enormous boom. Then that hit some difficulties. So everything depends on where you're living. The only thing I would say is you have to look at your local environment. I'm not saying you just move out of there, but there's some places that are bustling and do very well, and other states and cities are not doing well, so you want to understand local commerce. The other thing is whether you explore business online. A lot of people are developing their own cottage businesses, you know, through online work, and are very excited about doing that.
Well, it seems to be growing like crazy too, Mark.
Yeah, sure.
All right,
absolutely.
My friend, thank you. I'm sure we'll be talking with you as, one, we get close to these conventions, and two, if events warrant it, okay?
Okay, great. Thanks so much, George.
That's Mark Lerner, and I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM as we continue talking about these incredible events facing all of us in 2016. Up next, still another psychic, Vince Jenna, joins us, so make sure you're part of that program. And, of course, again, if you need to ever send me a little note, it's George at coasttocoastam.com.